Her heart might be broken, but her spirit won't be crushed. Northern Lights, Southern Stars, coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. Showcasing Christian authors from all over the world. England, Canada, India, Thailand, UK, USA. It's Tuesday night, and this is The Right Stuff. With your host, the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. Cole. Hi, and welcome to a special edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me. We are going to have a fantastic time with our guest tonight. Her name is C.S. Johnson, and she is the author of the book Northern Lights, Southern Stars. It's a fantasy retelling of Snow White, and I know you are definitely going to enjoy this. I've been enjoying this book as I read it today. I was sending her little messages on her Facebook Messenger, just telling her how much I enjoy it, or just asking a question about one thing or another. If you like sweet romantic fairy tale retellings, this is the one for you. Northern Lights, Southern Stars, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. We're going to be talking to her in just a few moments. We definitely want to thank our corporate sponsor, Christian Book Club, for their support. If you are an author looking to see how you can increase your readership, go to christianbookclub.net and find out how they can help you build your tribe. We also want to thank our partner, Readio app, for their support. Readio has decided to partner with the Christian Convict Book Club, the CCBC, to provide incarcerated men and women in the USA with nonfiction Christian books. Author and founder of the CCBC, Adam Sharp, stated that reading books as he serves time has undoubtedly changed his life. There are numerous testimonies of prisoners who develop relationships with the Most High God after reading life-altering books. As a corporate contributor, Readio supports this vision and is inviting authors to do the same. So I invite you, if you are a nonfiction author and a Christian author who wants to support this great mission, simply visit readioapp.com/ccbc_author.html. Find out how you can make a difference and help free our incarcerated men and women from anything that may separate them from the love of God. I also want to thank those of you who have pre-ordered your copy of my newest release set to come out November 17th. It's called The Butterscotch Bride. Have been really enjoying the excitement and the response to the book. Really excited to share that with you. It is a pre-Civil War story that takes place in Alabama. I'm looking forward to sharing that story with you. If you'd like to get your pre-order copy, it's available for 99 cents on Amazon.com. As always, if you want to weigh in on the conversation, you know you can. All you got to do is call in at 646-668-8485. Press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff, with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The Spec Faith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Hi, My name is Kevin Newsom, and I am the host of the Christian Arts and Entertainment Podcast. I am an author, musician, and worship pastor. On my podcast, we talk art and entertainment in all its forms: music, writing, movies, art, and more. Join us each week as we wrestle with two questions: what is a Christian artist's responsibility when creating art, and what is the Christian consumer's responsibility when consuming art? You'll find the Christian Arts and Entertainment Podcast on your favorite podcast platform and in full video on YouTube. Go to www.pressepic.com for more information. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube and in your podcast app, and I'll see you soon.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm-influenced unrelated classifications? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Follow at Readio App today on social media or visit readioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Readio, the best app for the Most High-influenced ebooks and audiobooks.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today. The Queen talking to CJ. She is the author of the book Northern Lights, Southern Stars. It is a fantasy retelling of the Snow White story. Again, available on Amazon. Really excited to talk to her. I have been enjoying this book as I read it today, and I know you are going to enjoy it as well. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest co-host and contributor, CJ Johnson. CJ, how are you doing today?
Hi, Parker, or Queen Parker, should I say?
Yes.
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on the show. I've heard nothing but good things about you from many of just people I interact with that you know, probably.
Oh, thanks. Good to hear. They're saying good things about me. I would hate for you to come on board and say, yeah, people hate you, Parker. You didn't know. I'm like, no, I didn't know, CJ. Thank you for letting me know about that from all the millions of people listening. No, I'm just joking. But no, CJ, thanks so much for being with me. You already know I enjoyed your book. I'm enjoying it right now. Can't wait to finish it. And I'm just so excited because you took a really unique storyline and you took a very well-loved classical tale of Snow White and you merged them all together. And you have this book super layered with so many different things going on. I cannot wait to delve into it. But before we do that, I always want to give our listeners an opportunity to know who you are. And as I always say, I can read a bio, but a bio doesn't really tell us about who you are. So go ahead and tell us who you are in your own words.
Oh, okay. I'm just C.S. Johnson, and I'm a wife and mother, and important things about me. And I'm also a writer, and I'm also really nervous in person, so some of that's going to sound jumbled. And I'm going to have to, like, pinch myself not to laugh as I talk. So, but, I'm a writer, and I really love poetry and literature and history and a little bit of pop culture. I'm selective with it, you know. And I like talking about coffee and just other things, too. Random things, maybe.
I like the fact that you said... No, I like the fact you say you like coffee because I like tea, and I'm a tea drinker. I don't know how people drink coffee. It's extremely bitter, but coffee has that wonderful smell to it, and it smells so good. And then for me, you take a sip of it, and you're gagging, but that's just me. I know a lot of people run on coffee. They have a coffee thing hooked up to their sides and they pump it through the wall. So I know what coffee does for some people. So yeah, I totally get you. And you also said that you like poetry and literature, and you also like some pop culture. And I understand you about the pop culture. it can be a hit or miss because you kind of go like, oh, that's really funny. No, that's not really funny. Oh, that's real. No, it's not. You know, so it's kind of a hit and miss there. So, you know, tell us a little about the poetry that you like. I think poets who can write are probably some of the best writers out there because they can take a truth, a single truth in that moment and expand on it in very different ways, which I think is admirable skill. But tell us about the poetry that you like and some of the literature that you like as well.
Well, right now I'm going through my Kipling and Poe collection that I have here at my house. I like both of them for different reasons. I think Kipling's got a lot of you need historical context with him because historical revisionism and some modern versions of critiques get it all kind of backwards if you leave out the well, basically, postmodernism sucks. There we go. I'll get it out of the way. But I like the thematic elements that he uses and how he illustrates them to like these small little pictures. And Poe, of course, I think is a good one for the Halloween season. You know, the Raven, quote the Raven Nevermore, and some good stuff. I really like on a more general level, I love P.S. Eliot. It's probably my favorite. Gives an art form to craziness and mental breakdown, psychosis. That's more relevant than I'd like it to be, I think. I think on some level, if you've had like depression or anxiety and stuff, and that's something that I've suffered through multiple times, you know, just regular and postpartum. And I think that's kind of it's a unique kind of glance into kind of some of the darker aspects of humanity. And like I said, he brings out such like beauty in it that it's like, oh, this is like a new art form. And I actually really like his work too, because Eliot's work gradually becomes more and more resolved as he gets older. And so that's kind of the other reason why I like it. I do like C.S. Lewis a lot, and I think that's pretty standard for most Christians. His early poetry is very interesting because he was an atheist when he wrote it, and so you can kind of also see the progression and the growth and the resolution that comes with more and more of his work as he goes on. And if I have any poet that I like and I can see in my work a lot, it's Hopkins. It's Gerard Hopkins with God's Grandeur Over the Speckled. Yeah, see, I'm getting nervous, so I can't remember it. But
well, you're doing fine, yeah, to be sure. You're definitely doing fine because you were mentioning some of the things that what you like about these poets. And for me, I know about Edgar Allan Poe because I grew up reading Edgar Allan Poe. I have a complete collection of his works here in the house. And he was a very interesting character in history. I do like his story. I do like his poem, The Raven. Who doesn't? And I do like The Bells. And Annabelle Lee, and The Fall of the House of Usher, and some of the really popular ones. He was a very very good writer, very eclectic. He knew how to really bring atmosphere. And he was the first, before Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, to come up with that person who does deductive reasoning. So Sir Arthur Conan Doyle did Sherlock Holmes, where he had him before, 50 years before he even came out. And so he was the first to actually bring in that genre that we all love so much, you know, that genre of deductive reasoning, using clues to discover what happened. So that he was the first to do that. So really liked the list of authors and poets that you mentioned there. So that was pretty interesting. And then you also mentioned about C.S. Lewis, and I like how you make the connection of how their younger works differ from their older works, because they begin to mature. Do you think that maturity is something every writer needs to have, or is just something that gradually happens because that's just the way the books that we write are, that they get better as they get older, hopefully anyway?
I think it depends on a lot of in the author question, like because you can have the two steps forward, nine steps back type of thing. I see it a lot in myself with genre hopping. So one of the things that I'm known for is that I like to write what I like to write. So I write what I want. And with fairy tales, like the beats and the
and everything that you use, like, they're kind of predictable. So you, but they're still there. Like, there's the, you know, the beginning, and, you know, you get to the happily ever after at the end, you know, usually. With other genres, it changes sometimes. And so, like, for me, like, I think my early work is not bad, but it's, you can tell it's young. And I think it's a little bit more certain, I would say, honestly, because you have, I joke every time I finish a book, it's like, oh, now I have to go learn how to write a book all over again.
Mm-hmm. I understand that sentiment.
Yeah, but I've seen some writers like I won't mention any names because I don't believe in that. But there's some that get really that end better, and then they find like their formula, and then like it gets worse because like
yeah they don't to escape that. That pattern, because once you find it, you think, well, I've been very successful with it. And as soon as you said that, I was thinking about cooks and how people who are very good cooks, like Gordon Ramsay's of the world, things of that nature, they thrive on challenge. They thrive on creativity. They thrive on pushing themselves. And then when they stop doing that and get caught in a rut, they can't do it anymore. And their food becomes lackadaisical, maybe bland. And then you have other things that come along with that. So I totally get your perspective on that idea too. So, you know, go ahead. Go ahead and say.
Oh, I was going to say a good example of this is kind of like modern culture is Marvel. Like it was really like groundbreaking with Iron Man to have like,
yes.
like Iron Man come out and it's like, but you know, you have this thing where that kind of pattern gets repeated. You have a superhero could be get some kind of access to some item or uncover something, or you know, and then the bad guys got the same goals but they have different motives maybe, or you know, and so it's become a very predictable formula, and that's why I think some of my more comic book oriented friends and I got into a bit of a rift because I said, yeah, they're just like, you know, it's like a roller coaster. And I actually agree with Martin Scorsese. And they're like, what?
Yes. Yes, I understand. I understand that. I was thinking of when you said about the comic book movies, when they first came out, they were very exciting. And then 10 years later, you're like, wow, I've seen this movie before. Just different actors, but I've seen this movie before. And then you go, oh, the guy's going to come out and do something. You know, oh, when is the guy going to come out?
Yeah.
That's why I understand you completely on that. So, yeah, it's really exciting about that. So I would definitely want you to tell us about your writing journey, because you do have a number of books out there. In particular, you have, I forgot, it's called The Chronicles. It's a Chronicles series that you have. Yeah. Tell us a little about your writing journey. How did it start? How did it all begin?
In depression. I'm not joking about that. I'm sorry for laughing. No, when I was in high school, I was kind of like the shy, quiet kid who, you know, I always felt never good enough and never pretty enough. And I was always very quiet, and I was very opinionated too. So every time I did speak, it was like, oh, I always got an interesting reaction. And I will say it did not help that I had a really good memory. So some of the people, when I said, you remember like 2 years ago when you were dating this guy and you just said they blah, 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 you know, something. And they were like, oh, how did you remember that? I don't remember that. And
oh, wow.
it was kind of creepy. So
mm-hmm.
I kind of laugh at it now because it's like, if somebody did that to me, I'd probably hit them. So at least nobody ever hit me. So I wrote a lot, and I find my own friends and try to, you know, you try to figure out who you are. I think when you don't have anybody else around you, it's hard to do that. Like, most people are willing to assign you labels, and most people are happy to live up to them. You know, it's easy. And so, I mean, I was the smart kid in school, but I wasn't the smartest. And I mean, I still graduated top 10% of my class. I think my parents would want me to tell you that, you know. But it's so
like we've succeeded. She's at the top 10%. We succeeded in life. Right. Yes. Totally understand. Go ahead.
So, but I was very lonely, and I didn't like a lot of the labels that people gave me. They thought I was a mom, you know. And so my quest kind of did go through depression, but it also was like my mother called me a failed idealist. So I was an idealist, you know. It's, why don't people just do this and things will be good? And then you kind of run into the human error of sin and addiction and disease and stuff when you end up, you know, looking for, like, it shouldn't be a hard, like, easy problems to solve shouldn't be hard to solve, but they end up becoming hard because of human nature. A good example is, like, when you're in debt, all you have to do is stop spending money, right? It's not that hard, right?
No, it isn't.
Stop doing
it. Isn't.
and like, you try it, and it's like, oh, my gosh. I need to go out and buy some sweet tarts right now. So,
yes.
Thank God it's happening this weekend. So I kind of set out to find myself and make sense of my world, and I liked writing. But I will say that kind of like boils down for me. It was a way to channel my emotions, which were erratic and hormone-filled during my teenage years. And then like you kind of gradually wake up to the rest of the world. You realize that there are people on the other side of the world that aren't thinking about what you need right now. And it's honestly shocking. The first time I realized that, it was pretty shocking. So I started out in depression. I was a failed idealist. And then I became, you know, I tried to make sense of more of my high school years. And there was some angst there. I wrote the Starlight Chronicles. As kind of like a metaphor for the journey from atheism to Christianity. And I actually grew up in a church, but I had people in high school that like I grew up with, and I was like, it was never really a problem for me to believe in God. Like it made sense to me that, oh, you know, this happened. And I understand why people, like I got into apologetics because I was the smart kid, and one of the things that I did talk about was faith, and I think a large part of the reason that I started writing was because I did a lot of this while I was reading East of Eden by John Steinbeck with my class when I started doing this, because, you know, it was very nice to hear my teacher's lectures about it, but she didn't know, like, about Seth, and they were talking about Cain and Abel, and are we children of Cain, and there was another son. So it was always interesting when you teach a teacher something and they're taken aback by it. So, and that was kind of like the book that that really got me through college. I started writing it after high school, the year I graduated from high school, because it's like I wanted to say something, but I wasn't going to have time with the people that I was growing up with. And so it's kind of like my message to them. I don't think it's like any sort of like coincidence that I'm friends with almost none of them anymore. But I hope they read the book someday and, you know, take it on good faith. So.
Yeah. And for those of you listening, we're talking to C.S. Johnson. She is the author of the book Northern Lights, Southern Stars. It's a fantasy retelling of Snow White, and it's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. When we get back, we're going to be delving into Northern Lights, Southern Stars, and you are welcome to join in the conversation by calling in at 646-668-8485, then press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas.
Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, the Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Nights and her guests.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So very, very glad you are here with me today. We are talking to C.S. Johnson. She is the author of the book Northern Lights, Southern Stars. It's a fantasy retelling of Snow White. I have been enjoying this book. I know you will too. So go ahead, pick up your copy of Northern Lights, Southern Stars on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. I've been enjoying our conversation with CJ because she comes from a place of, you know, insecurity. You come from a place of, you know, having some problems and some issues you may have. And get this, she has written dozens of books, guys, because she's a prolific writer. And I know some authors out there think, I can't do it. If CJ can, you can. If I can, you can. And I know what it's like to deal with your insecurities. I've talked about it on the show many times. You all know about how I used to hate myself and have a horrible self-image of myself and how the Lord has brought me through, even though it's still something I deal with today. So we say this because you can do this. And I hope you're getting encouragement from CJ's story as she shares it with us. And now, CJ, again, thank you so much for being with us, being on the show. Really excited to be talking to you, having such a great time. And so I want to now delve into Northern Lights, Southern Stars. And for those of you who may be listening in from the link, you'll notice that I have put Northern Lights, Southern Skies. And when I looked at it, I swore that I had put stars. I said, don't put skies, don't put skies. I remember saying that when I was doing the show. And what did I do, CJ? I put what I said I wasn't going to put. Then I didn't catch it till a few months before the show started. I said, goodness gracious, I said I wasn't going to do this. But anyway, Northern Lights, Southern Stars is the book we're talking about. So before I get into some of the meat of this story, what made you say, you know what, the story of Snow White has to be retold CJ's way? Tell us when that happened for you.
I get a credit, I think, two people for this in particular. One was my friend Faith Moore, and She's a fellow author as well, and she wrote a book called Saving Cinderella, and in it she talks about, there is a book of essays on what
modern feminism gets wrong about the Disney princesses. And it's a very good book. I really highly recommend it. Faith does a really good job of kind of on an analytical level about how people, when modern feminism is defined as like equality and same to men, people forget that women can be clever and caring, and that there are different kinds of strengths that women are better at exemplifying and stuff. And I think like a classic one is like a lot of people forget that, like, Belle agreed to the deal her life for her father, like, and stuff. And people don't see that as a strength. But when she talked about like Snow White, you kind of have to give a lot of, you have to kind of agree with a lot of her. She's very naive and she's very young, and Snow White's fairy tale, like in a historical sense, is kind of like it's an allusion to menstruation. So I just kicked off all your male listeners at the moment.
Hardly, if they've been married, hardly. But go ahead, CJ.
Yeah, so it's kind of like you know, you bite the apple, and that's kind of like your period, and then you go to sleep and wake up as a woman, and from the kiss of your Prince Charming. And I like the historical implications of it because I'm a big history nerd, but I also like the more like, how can you kind of make it more modern, you know, like how can you give it a spin in today's world where it means something to somebody. And the kind of, if you distill like the theme of Snow White down to its like literary, like this form of literary kind of expression, it would be about hope. And it kind of mirrors, like I was talking earlier about my depression and everything like that. And honestly, I was like, when you were talking about you know, your journey and hating yourself, like, oh, that's like a rite of passage then, I guess.
yeah, you're not alone, for sure.
yeah. And well, Snow White's is you know, her story is about hope and the ability to endure. So it's about hope and endurance. And I don't think that I could have survived my depression, in the sense that I don't think I could have come back from it. I call myself a redeemed idealist now. You know, so you start off as this idealist and then failed idealist, and now I'm a redeemed idealist. I don't think I could have been redeemed without love. And naturally, God plays his hand in that, like, hugely. But he does work through people, and you know, specifically, you know, like my family and my friends and my husband, you know, my college friends at this point. And I really thought, so when I got to see, kind of like after I read Facebook, I got to see it from like a new perspective about hope and this belief in the good and the beautiful and the true and this endurance to endure it, and keep your conviction, basically. I mean, one of my more well-known quotes is, you know, like, our convictions are the strongest things that define us, you know, and what you believe and what you're willing to suffer for it, you know, should, you know, those things should match up. So, I mean, it's one thing to say, like, I'm going to go on a diet next week. It's another thing to actually do it. So, you know, and that's more about honor. But, I mean, as far as hope goes, I think can you still be a person of good cheer and friendliness and openness and compassion, even if people around you don't necessarily show you the same? That's a hard question, I think, to ask people. I think this one, so the second person I kind of owe the story to was my fellow author, Larry Paris. I think you know him, right?
Oh, of course I know Larry. He's a huge supporter of the show. Know Larry very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he emailed me at like I think it was June last year, and he's like, I know you're good at fairy tales, and like somebody's trying to work this one out, and it doesn't like resolve right, and we ended up like kind of talking about it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is a great idea for a story. So it wasn't the same story or anything, but it was kind of the idea of how would you basically talk about like racial relations and having a black Snow White. And I was like, oh, well, I talk about hope and, you know, bringing in the historical kind of cruelties as much as the future, you know, that you guys have. And it's very interesting to kind of see those things be so relevant in today's cultural, you know, kind of milieu and stuff. And I think, I mean, like I've taught in the inner city in Atlanta here, and I think, I wanted to write something that would give people hope, basically. And it doesn't matter really, you know, what ethnicity or what race you are. I think it's a message about if you've ever felt othered by someone else, you know, when somebody has cast you in this kind of unpleasant role in their lives for unsubstantiated reasons or faulty logic or some kind of evil rationality, you know, I think you should be able to find hope and find courage and maybe, unfortunately, the ability to endure some of it from Ebony's story. Not that, you know, it should be, but it's just a fact of life, I think, that we have to deal with unpleasant things no matter where we are.
That's very true. One of the things, too, that you highlight in Northern Lights and Southern Stars is the fact that often when people have a problem with you being an other, you could put whatever category you want to put in it for the sake of the illustration, it has deep-seated mm-hmm. roots about themselves. And in this case, the stepmother has this our attitude of not liking the Morali people, but it's really a flaw within herself. And you did a wonderful job showing her personality. And I hate the stepmother, and I think I told you that. I hate her. And I remember saying very bluntly to my listeners, I said, I hope she chokes when she gets it. I just hope she chokes or something. You know, I don't care. You know. And I like the fact that you took on the whole racial aspect the way you did, but you did it where I can tell you did your research. Like, for example, you mentioned about her headscarf, and that's a really big deal in many different cultures, mm-hmm. particularly of African cultures, a headscarf, her hair. The hair is not just a source of a crown as much as her identity. You talked about how there's one scene in the book where she has to get her hair straightened in African-American community here. That's a big deal about going natural, being permed. You want to perm your hair to be white, things of that nature, and how it's an identity thing. So you did a lot of things that are very, I can very much appreciate just coming from, as an African-American, even though, depending on who you talk to, I haven't been African-American in a while, depending on who you talk to. So, that's another subject for another time. But I really liked how you integrated all that information, and I picked up on it really quickly. And I was telling someone that if you're going to write outside of your own ethnic sphere, make sure you do your research. That's the biggest thing. Like, don't just make the person look like you. You know, do your research, and you did such a great job with that. Even some of the colors that are represented by Ebony, like you have the gold, the black, the green, those colors are very Afrocentric colors. And I was just really mm-hmm. thrilled to see all that layering into the story, and then she still had her own identity. And then I like how you did Rion, who is the quote-unquote Prince Charming, if you will, character, and how he just loves her. He just loves her as she is. And she doesn't know that. At the beginning of the story, she doesn't know that. And it's early enough to where I'm not spoiling things for you, but it's a thing where he's like scared to tell her. He's scared to tell her that, oh my gosh, I'm totally into you and have been for a really long time. And there's that sweet romantic aspect to the story that I think people will love. But mixed in there is this journey of Ebony, because she went from being a princess to being a servant, And when you fall from grace, that's a hard place to be. So in this story, it's a fantasy retelling. So where would you say this world is? Because I think it's in our world, but in a fantastical element. Would it be in another dimension maybe? Tell us where you think this world is.
I definitely put it, a lot of the history comes from definitely African. The idea came from it though is that if you look at a lot of the names of the Pamirian people, they're French based. When I was in high school, I took French as a second language, and I love relearn a lot of the French I think I've lost since I've had kids. And so it's kind of like, oh, I'll use that as an excuse to pull up my free rice app here, you know, and play on it for a while. they have kind of like a long history of like this, the Cote d'Ivoire, the Ivory Coast, and trade with kind of like the western coast of Africa and South Africa. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be something kind of similar to that. Like, I have a few friends from Trinidad down here too, which is where I got the green and the yellow and the black help. So,
yeah.
And, I love like the richness and the music the other half of the world has.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you go is kind of distinct in some ways, but I have a couple of other friends who they go around different places that with like African choirs, and they do like songs of the Zulu tribe, and it's really inspiring. I like music a lot, and actually like Ebony's mother, Isaiah, I got her name from the lady who wrote Wanting Memories. It's I think it's Yusei Barnswell. I'm probably butchering her first name, but she's an African American composer here, and I really liked her music when I was in high school, and that was kind of my way of, it's like a hat tip. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing joy to my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So I would probably put it, you know, probably across the Mediterranean, if it was like maybe twice or three times as wide. So you have the
French kind of European
influence.
Yeah. As you were telling me that just now, I was thinking of the research I did for one of my books, and the French in particular had a lot of trade going on with that part of Africa. And I remember doing my research into the Dahomey Kingdom, which is a very powerful tribal kingdom at the time, and they were able to hold off French occupation, if you will, for a while before they were just overwhelmed by superior power. And mm-hmm. as you were saying that, I can actually see the parallel of this world. So very good job. I can actually get a better picture of it. Another thing you talk about in Northern Lights, Southern Stars, slavery. But it's not just slavery in the natural sense, there's also another type of slavery. And this is a fantastical element of your story, which I thought was quite, quite imaginative. Tell us about, and I can't pronounce the name, the Spekavika. I don't know how to pronounce it, but tell us about them.
So one of the things that's kind of iconic to the Snow White story is the mirror slave. The slave in the mirror. And it's not really explained where the magic comes from very well in the original stories. And, it is kind of like witchcraft in the sense that it's, you know, magic, but they put slaves in the mirror and they serve you. they tell you.
I thought that was fantastic, CJ. I totally thought that was fantastic because in the original fairy tale, he can't lie to her. Now that I think about it, he can't lie to her. She goes, "Who's fairest of them all?" And he's like, "You are," because she needs that type of she needs that type of help to make her feel better about herself. And I just thought, especially how they became the Mira slaves and how Ebony has her own Mira slave. And I was thinking, wow, that would be so interesting to have someone talking to me in the mirror. So it's not just me anymore. It's someone else looking at me, talking to me, being a friend of mine. And so I really like that unique aspect of Northern Lights, Southern Stars. And then before we go to our next break, you also have a political element in here. You talk about slavery, but there's also a thing about trade, about having a more superior, quote unquote, superior country, which more resources than a tribal culture. And that's what happens in this story. So for our listeners out there in Northern Lights, Southern Stars, it's a multi-layered book, but it reads so effortlessly. You get all this other things as you, all these other elements rather, as you read the story. So make sure you pick up your copy of Northern Lights, Southern Stars. We are talking to CJ, and she is the one who wrote that book. Make sure you get a copy of it. We're going to go ahead, take a quick short break. When we come back, we'll be talking more with CJ about Northern Lights, Southern Stars.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then AuthorShout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at AuthorShout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by AuthorShout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people? And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist, and we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lorehaven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. We apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel, and we'll join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring his gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC
104.5. So very glad you are here with me today. I have been enjoying our conversation with our guest co-host, C.S. Johnson. She is the author of the book, Northern Lights, Southern Stars. It is a fantasy retelling of Snow White. This is a wonderful story. I know you're definitely going to enjoy. If you've been following the broadcast, we've talked about how layered this retelling is. It's talking about racism, talks about feminism, talks about having hope in dark situations, and there's so much more. You know, I am a romance junkie, and I love romance, and I love the sweet romantic elements that are interwoven through this book. You're definitely going to enjoy it. So make sure you go ahead and copy of Northern Lights, Southern Stars today. You will not be disappointed. I forgot to mention at the top of the hour that I have become a contributor of speculativefaith.com. And those of you know, I play their ad all the time on the show. It's really an honor to be part of their roster of creatives that talk about whatever they want to talk about when it comes to speculative fiction. So my article for tomorrow is going to be based on why do we love evil children? So that's going to be my article on speculativefaith.com tomorrow. Hope you join and find out what I'm going to say about evil children on that post. And hope you can follow along with me there. So CJ, once again, thanks for being with me on the show. Like I said, really enjoyed having you. And I want you to talk about the audiobook of Northern Lights, Southern Stars, in case our viewers and listeners like that.
Okay, great. I actually have a really great narrator for this book. Arama Christiana is her name, and she's actually a Christian author too, and behind the scenes, I've been like begging Parker to like bring her on. she's a narrator that I found over Audible, just trying to get somebody to read my book. And I really wanted somebody who could do a South African kind of accent. And she's from Sierra Leone, and it's funny, she actually lives close to where I grew up now in Northern United States and everything. So we had a really good talk when we kind of like introduced ourselves to each other, and she's just a really great narrator, and she has such a musical voice. I understand that audiobooks are kind of like, I don't know, it's like going out to dinner and getting the filet mignon, but yeah, go ahead and spoil yourselves, everybody.
Yes.
Pick it up. She does a really good job. She told me like when she was going through the book too, she gave Rion more of like a Western education kind of accent, and then Ebony has more of like a native kind of, you know, the African sort of musical quality to it. And I will say like the title actually came from the idea of like of music and like music and lyrics on, but like if you look at a sheet of music, you know, you have the white on the background and then you have the black spots, and if you look up at the night sky, you've got it's like almost like the reverse. And I always like that about God. It's like he's writing music in the sky every night, and it's always changing. And you know, like I think that's kind of a nice allegory for how to get along. It's like you're your own individual star, but you're also part of all these constellations. And this backdrop of majesty behind us. So
I like that. I like the way you said that. Go ahead.
I got caught up in my own words again.
No, they're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful. I'm always interested in the stars myself, and to see the proper term you use was majesty. And I remember, and I saw a Christmas card a couple of years ago, maybe even longer than that. And it said, unto us a child is born. And instead of a manger scene, there was a scene of a nebula. And when I saw that card, it really moved me, because it lets us know that this vast cosmos, how vast it is, and we don't know all of its mysteries, he knows my name. And I remember thinking, God of the universe knows my name. He knows exactly who I am. And when you have that sort of understanding, it really is quite humbling. And like you said, I love the way you said, we're like different stars. We have different lights, and we're shining in this massive, magical crown
that we are his crown, that he wears us, you know. And it's just, it's just, sends chills on your spine when you think about it. I'm getting chills on my spine when I think about it. So I totally understand what you feel there. And so we are at the close to the end of our show, CJ. I really enjoyed having you. And thank you for the shout out to Christiana Arama. I'm going to definitely invite her onto the show if she wants to come on for next year. But I want you to have people know where we can find you online.
Okay. So I'm on Facebook at, so it's Facebook.com/WriterCSJohnson. And then I have my website, which is csjohnson.me. And that's pretty good. you can find everything you need there. so I do have, in addition to writing, and I'm working on my own audiobook now. And I also have a giving back and grant, if you don't mind the plug. So one of the things about my mental problems that I went through after I graduated college was like a depression that was related to my debt. I hate being in debt. And since we're talking about slavery and freedom and different forms, one of the things I try to do is every month I have a grant now where I give money to people who are struggling with college loan debt. So I have a book on it, one of my nonfiction books, if you want to figure out how to, like, avoid some of it and how to deal with some of it besides, like, later on, you know, either donate or fill out the application for it, stuff like that.
It's funny you mention about debt, because when I was growing up, my mother told me never to get a credit card. And she said it's a form of slavery. She known that many years ago. And the only credit card I ever had in my life was a Mervyn's credit card. And for those of you who know what Mervyn's is, you may go, wow, they don't even exist anymore, Parker. How old are you? And that's what I mean. So, and it took me, I had spent $200 one time with that card, and it took me 2 years to pay it off. And I remember when I paid it off, I said, never again. And I promise you, till from then till now, I have never had another credit card. And so, yeah, I totally feel you there. It's a wonderful organization that you have to help students pay off their debt or help them with their debt, because that can be a killer. It's a chain mm-hmm. around your neck. It's an overseer whipping you with a whip. It's just massive boil, if you will. So I totally get that. I think that's a good thing, CJ, that you're doing. And we're about to be at the end of our show in a few moments we have left. So go ahead and encourage our authors out there.
All right. So I told you I suffered from depression. I never felt good enough, pretty enough, thin enough, smart enough, fast enough, all those good things. And I would just encourage people to keep having hope. You know, like out of my pathetic ball of a mess that is my soul, I still, you know, have hope in God. And I got my husband. My husband loves me very much, and I don't know why some days, but he's really the love of my life. And I really do owe a lot of my romance novel desires to write stuff is because I get to relive falling in love with him all over again, you know, while I write someone else falling in love. And so there is, our hope is not, you know, pointless. It will come back. There will be, you know, a reward for it. And, you know, I pray that whoever's listening just finds it. And, even if you can't really see the end of the darkness that you're facing, you know, I hope that you'll have the strength to endure to the end.
I love that you just said that. I was trying to hurry up and tweet it out while you were saying it, because like you said, there's hope, and hope is always there, and it's not pointless hope. And sometimes people feel that way. And I'm glad that you are reminding us that it isn't pointless and there is a reward for that. And I appreciate you so much for saying that, CJ. And thank you so much for being with us. For those of you, I was talking to CJ before the show and I said, I can't wait to have you back. And she's like, oh, really? I said, no, yes, really. I said, you've just become stuck with me. And so she's like, oh, okay, whatever. You know. And so the next time we're going to have her, she wrote I want to say a mermaid thriller, if you will, called Till Human Voices
awake us. And I don't know what it's about all the way, but from the reviews, oh my gosh, they're saying that this book is not typical CJ. And I'm like, oh wow. So I'm really intrigued to read it. Don't tell us anything about it, CJ, but she'll be back hopefully soon.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about her book, Till Human Voices Wake Us. And it's about mermaids, but this is not Ariel. So we want to get that out of your head right now. Ariel is a psycho, apparently. But I don't know all the details, so I can't wait to talk about it with you, CJ. Thank you so much for being with me on the show today. And like I already said, can't wait to have you back.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Parker. It was a joy. Thank you very much.
And we were talking today to C.S. Johnson. She is the author of the book Northern Light, Southern Stars. It is a fairy tale fantasy retelling of Snow White. And you're definitely going to enjoy it. Make sure you pick up your copy on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. I really enjoyed talking to CJ today. She was just so open and honest and transparent. And she talked about her insecurities and how even though she had those insecurities, she went through a bad path. The Lord brought her through. And I hope that gives you encouragement, anyone out there. If you're feeling like it's hopeless, you're feeling depressed, the Lord will bring you through. Like she said, hope is not pointless and there is a reward for your hope. Keep hoping even when all around you seems dark and you can't get through it. She's been there. She can definitely attest to the fact. So make sure you go ahead and read her books. Go ahead and follow her online. Thank you all so much for joining for this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J. And you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.